Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So as you've heard many times already this morning, today is Trinity Sunday or Holy Trinity Sunday. And I once heard a pastor say that if a pastor really knew what they were doing, he would call in sick on Trinity Sunday rather than try to explain the Trinity. Well, call me a glutton for punishment, but I kind of like preaching on Trinity Sunday. I really enjoy the Athanasian Creed. Also, Pastor Eric's still on sabbatical, and I don't really have any other options. But of course, the Trinity, the confession that we have, that one God that has revealed himself as one God in three persons, is a mystery that's hard to understand and hard to explain. I've had numerous conversations with people, even some over these last few days, about the difficulty we might have explaining and understanding this concept of God. People find this teaching to be incomprehensible, and many will simply just reject it. Well, I don't understand it. I just won't believe it. Even men like Thomas Jefferson actually rejected the doctrine of the Trinity because he just couldn't wrap his mind around the possibility that there could be one God in three persons. He called for doing away with this incomprehensible jargon, he said. And he wanted to unlearn all these doctrines that have been taught concerning the divinity of Christ. He couldn't wrap his mind around Jesus being the incarnate Word of God, God made man, who was eternal and one with the Father. He believed that Jesus was just a good moral teacher, but certainly not full God, Son of the Father from eternity. And so he just rejected it altogether. And we can reject it because we don't understand it, or we can believe it on the basis of Scripture. It's a mystery, and the truth is, that all analogies, you might have heard many different analogies regarding the Trinity. I thought about using some this morning and thought better not, although we've used some in the past for children's message. But all analogies fall short. But it is a mystery that we boldly confess in faith because of what we clearly see taught and confessed in the Scriptures. We worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, as we'll confess in a few moments in the Creed. The earliest creed of the Bible, though, was this confession that God is one. Deuteronomy 6:4 was the Shema, this creed of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. But that one God has made himself known to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we read in Matthew 28, as we're told to baptize in the name, singular, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to be able to explain to you sufficiently in this sermon. I was going to say short sermon, but I won't promise anything. In this sermon, I'm not going to be able to explain to you sufficiently the Trinity. In fact, not even if we had lots of time would I be able to explain sufficiently the Trinity. But I am going to boldly confess it. For there's no Christianity without this confession in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But what I want to talk about today is how this God, the triune God, has come to us and has redeemed us. We can get so caught up in the mysteries of the divine and trying to understand things that are mysterious, are things of God, that we don't look at the plain ways that he has made himself known to us. In the most well-known Bible passage of all, Jesus tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16, Sunshine quoted that for us earlier when I asked them about what God the Father does. It is through this Son, the Son of God, Christ Jesus, that we have come to know God and the redemption that is ours in and through him. And who does this Jesus, this Son of God, claim to be in relationship to the Father? Well, he claims to be God. He claims to be one with the Father. If you really read Scripture, you can't deny these claims. He claims to be eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He claims to be the Creator of God by whom all things were made. As we read in John 1, by Him all things were made, and nothing was made except by Him. But He's the Creator God by whom all things were made. He claims to be I Am. He claims to be I Am. And for those that aren't sure what that means, I Am, or Yahweh, is the name that God gave to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus. It's the proper name for God used throughout the Scriptures, especially the Old Testament. And Jesus takes that name upon Himself. He says that He is the I Am. And perhaps no better passage than our Gospel today from John 8 illustrates this claim of Jesus to be the I Am, the eternal God who created all things. John 8, 48 to 59 begins with Jesus in this little back and forth dialogue with some Jews. And He's already told them that they are not of God and that their father is the devil. So I think things are going pretty well as far as this cordial, you know, civil discussion. And so they come back at Him by calling Him a Samaritan and accusing Him of having a demon. It's a good discussion so far. So Jesus tells them, if anyone keeps My word, he will never see death. And they're a little taken aback by this. After all, their righteous, faithful father, Abraham, died. And so did the prophets that were after Him. Surely they all kept His word. Is He greater than Abraham? Is Jesus greater than Abraham who died? That's what they want to know. And Jesus says, if I glorify Myself, My glory is nothing. It is My Father who glorifies Me, of whom you say He is our God. But you have not known Him. I know Him. If I were to say that I do not know Him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know Him and keep His word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see My day. He saw it and was glad. Of course, Abraham lived nearly 2,000 years before the time of Christ. And the people that Jesus is talking to know this quite well. They know the timeline. And they remind Jesus that He's not old enough to have seen Abraham or for Abraham to have seen Him. You're not even 50 years old, they say to Him. And what does Jesus say? He says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Not, I was there. But I am. He's claiming to be the I Am, the eternal God that existed long before Abraham. And it's clear that the people understood His claim because their reaction to His statement that before Abraham was, I am, was to pick up stones and to try to kill Him for blasphemy, for claiming to be God. There's an interesting story in the Jewish Talmud, which includes a lot of Jewish oral tradition, that says that in Genesis chapter 15, when God took Abraham, who was childless at the time, God takes him outside and said, "Look toward heaven, and number the stars if you are able to number them." And God says in Genesis 15, "So shall your offspring be." Which is a very important story in the Bible. And here we hear that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. But the Talmud says that when that event happens, Abraham actually sees in the stars of the heavens all of his offspring, all of the generations that are to come, that would come after him. And that when he gets to the Messiah, he begins to dance. For he sees life and hope and redemption rather than death and decay. Whether that oral tradition that predates Jesus is true or not really doesn't matter. It's not in the Scriptures. What does matter is that Jesus knew the tradition and so did the Jews that he was talking to. And he is telling them that he is the one that Abraham saw. He is telling them that he is the Messiah. Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Whether he saw it in that oral tradition that we have of in the stars seeing the fulfillment with the Messiah, or whether what Jesus means is that because Abraham kept his word, he did not see death, not taste death, and saw Jesus because he still lives with God for all eternity through faith. Either way, he's telling them that he is the one that Abraham saw. He's telling them that he's the Messiah. And not only that, he's telling them that he is God. He is the one that Abraham was waiting for and that all of humanity was waiting for. And not only that, but like King David said, this descendant would sit on his throne whose soul would not be abandoned to Hades and did not see corruption. As David said, we heard in the second reading, this person, this king, was David's Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Jesus is God. And while we try to explore the mysteries of the divine majesty today, the mystery of the Trinity, we must not forget that this triune God that we serve has made himself known to us through the person and work of his Son, Jesus the Christ. We can get so caught up trying to lift back the curtain, draw back the curtain and ascertain these mysterious things of God. Or we can look at what he has shown us, what he has told us plain and clearly. And he has shown us that in his Son. The scriptures tell us that if we have seen Christ, we have seen the Father. St. Paul says that Jesus is the image, the icon, if you will, of the invisible God. They are one. Last week we talked on Pentecost about how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit work together for our creation, for our redemption, and for our sanctification or our holy living. But we also talked about how the Holy Spirit points us to Christ, where our redemption is found in his cross and in his resurrection. And Christ grants us access to the Father in heaven, where through the Son and the Holy Spirit we worship God for all eternity. And Christ remains at the center, not superior, not higher than the Father or the Holy Spirit, not more worthy of honor and praise, but because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. It is through him, as he's been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, that we have come to know God. So how do we know God? We know God because he has made himself known to us through Jesus. This is why in the creed that we are about to confess, we state that we must believe in the Trinity to be saved. But we also must believe in the incarnation of Jesus. That is, that this man, Jesus, is full God and full man. He is the eternal Son of God. The Jews in Jesus' day, they rejected this. And because of it, they rejected God. Not all of them, of course, as the first followers of Christ were also Jews. But most of them rejected, and in turn they rejected God. They worshiped the false god of their own invention because they did not accept and believe in who he said he was. That he's the great I am. And that's our confession today. We believe in Jesus. And Jesus is the great I am, who was and is to come. God incarnate, one with the Father, and with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, worthy of all honor, glory, worship, and praise forever and ever. Amen.